You're listening to the audio version of Victory Condition Gaming, sponsored by Forget Me Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. You can check them out online at forgetmenotflowersbarrie.com. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, search for Victory Condition Gaming, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DougVCGaming. And if you'd like to watch us live every week, make sure to subscribe to Victory Condition Gaming on YouTube.
I'm really excited. This first session we're starting off, we are going to be chatting with the one and only Matthias Johnson Hawk from Freely Publishing about Coriolis and Simbrium. Matthias, thank you so much for coming on and giving part of your day to chat with us.
It's a pure pleasure. I've been looking forward to this for months now, since I know that we were going to do this, or rather, you were going to do this. It's fantastic to get this opportunity to display all our games and to come on and chat with you and other cool stuff. Hi, Phil.
Right, and joining me is my co-host for this event, and he also is going to be a GM for a Simbrium session later today in the showcase. Phil, thanks for coming on and being my co-chair for this.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be great, and I'm really, really excited for this whole weekend.
I kind of feel like I didn't up my game. I need to get a really cool hat. We weren't told that we were supposed to wear really cool hats. Man.
So maybe I can't help you there. I hear there are some really cool hats at freeleagueshirts.com.
There are some very nice branded shirts right now, and they're on sale.
And hats.
Anyway, let's just dive right in. Matthias, thank you so much for coming on. Do you want to tell folks a little bit about who you are? Maybe they don't realize what titles you work on for Free League Publishing. If you wouldn't mind just telling folks, and maybe we'll get rolling. We will take some questions from the audience as well. So if you have any questions for Matthias, leave them in the chat. We'll bring them up. And we've got 30 minutes for this session, so we'll try to address as many as possible.
Yeah, short intro. I work mainly with Simbrium and Coriolis as project lead or game manager, game director. I have also worked on several of our other titles, as we do at Free League. We tend to, you know, follow our passions and try to help out where we want to and where we can. So just recently, we released a game called Vasen that I worked on as editor. Yeah, you have it there. Good, Phil.
Beautiful game.
As a text editor, mainly, working closely with Nils Hintze. And also, but that's only a Swedish-only release. We released sort of a love child of, I guess everyone watching this, or maybe most of them anyway, know the history of the two companies that became one just about 1.5 years ago. And we made a little love child in Swedish called Mutant Hindenburg. Yeah, you have it there. Nice. Good to have you, Phil. You can illustrate what I'm saying. Yeah, perfect. But that's so far, at least, and we have no other plans. It's a purely Swedish kind of product as I said, a little love child. So, and that was that. That's I've been working on that quite a bit as well. So I tend to step in where I'm allowed and where I want to when it concerns primarily text editing and you know, structure and those sort of things.
Okay. Excellent. And you're also are you the main writer behind Simbrium?
I would say that we are two main writers behind Simbrium. Or in essence, we are three. Also, Martin Grip, Martin Grip in Swedish, our artist, me, him, and Matthias Lilja, the core team of the company we come from called Järnringen. The concept and the ideas and, you know, much of much of the creating was done and is still done as a three-part collaboration. But then Matthias Lilja is kind of in charge of or heading the development of the rules aspect of the game, and I focus mainly on the setting and the grand campaign, the Throne of Thorns, and Martin obviously is doing the artwork, and then at the end of the day I'm also editing all text and so on. So no, I'm not the main writer of it, but I'm the project lead. That I am.
Would you think you're maybe a more of a lore master of Simbrium in that regard? Do you have a more to do with
maybe a lore writer, I would say. Yeah.
And the system itself is fantastic. Obviously, you've now released a 5e conversion for it. I did want to ask how you kind of came up with that system, because it's very different from anything else, obviously, as in the Free League selection, if you like, because it's an older game. But it's also, I feel, fairly unique in its approach.
I think and this is really a question that Matthias Lilja should answer, but I think I have some insights into his thought process. The design of the Simbrium system is inspired by Dungeons and Dragons 5e on the one hand, and the more narrative, quicker systems like Apocalypse World on the other.
Yeah.
And I would say that, I would guess, and I think I know what I'm talking about, that Lilja wanted to find sort of a sweet spot somewhere in between those two, where you had the tactical challenges and you know, the crunch from Dungeons and Dragons 5e and maybe Pathfinder 2, but in a suit that makes it much quicker. You know, in a standard Simbrium game, you do a fight between five PCs and five adversaries, it takes 30 to 35 minutes, not 5 hours, as it can do in some other systems.
Yeah.
It's also fully player facing, and that was, I think, we had a long discussion about that, me and him. As I said, we tend to do everything together, but in the end, we have sort of our, you know, final say areas, and Lilia's is the rule set. But we had hefty discussions about things like the player facing system, the progression rate of the PCs, and other stuff as well. In the end, I'm so extremely happy that I was a little bit more conservative, you know, felt that, as you said, Phil, it is kind of an odd bird in some senses, the Simbrium system. And I'm so happy that he stood his ground, and that I wasn't able to convince him to you know, go with more traditional solutions, because it's the first iteration of a completely original rule set. So we are fully aware that there are things we need to work on. We have done several updates. I think we're on the fifth. Yeah, we have just made the fifth reprint of the English core rule book.
I need to buy that.
And I can reveal to you that the next one is not far away at the rate things are going right now.
It's a fantastic game. And for me, I really do like the player facing side of it, because actually the way it works, and obviously I'll shut up in a minute. The GM has to learn a lot. And, you know, when I do the actual play later, I'm going to miss things like the different abilities and magical powers that the enemies have, because you have to know all of that. So having to do that and then do a whole load of crunch as well, that's a lot. And from a player perspective, being able to think, I need to attack or I need to defend an attack, is actually it's great fun.
No, I obviously I've been playing quite a lot of Simbrome over the past 5 years since we released the game, and I'm super happy with how it puts the agency with the players, while the game master, you know, as you said, I roll to defend, I roll to attack, I roll to investigate, I roll to whatever. While the game master can take a step back and make the narrative as well as the tactical challenges more interesting. Because in Simbrome, you seldom, at least when you climb in levels, when your PCs start to be, you know, more or less heroic in their abilities, you seldom go head to head with just one red dragon. It is a highly tactical system, in the sense that you to get a real challenge, you usually face, you know, an equal amount of really grim opponents. So the game master, the game master has to have that, you know.
As a player, you either take one big hit or you give one big hit, and there aren't many hits to take a foe down, regardless.
No,
but we've missed the game out.
Let's get to some of these questions here before we get too awfully long here. Marco has a question, and there's a few of these that are fairly similar, so I'm just going to pull Marco's. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody else that's been asking us a question as well. Also, we have the confirmation that Runes of Simbrome 5e is going to have a full development. Anything you can share on that regard?
Yeah, so far it's a rumor.
Not confirmed, okay?
Yeah, I can confirm this much, that if it gets the attention and is received in the way that we hope, our aim is definitely to do a full conversion. To start with three core books familiar to the 5e players, and then if those are well received, we hope to be able to move on to first maybe a couple of adventure collections and some lore material, and I mean, why not the whole Throne of Thorns?
Sure,
That would be great, and some dice, right?
And maybe some custom dice as well. Custom dice. Yeah.
Shadow Archangel says Simbrome was an amazing outlet during Puerto Rico 11-month blackout during Hurricane Maria. It's an amazing product, and I hope to keep playing. That's amazing. I love to hear that. Thank you so much, Shadow Archangel.
I don't know if I've heard from you before, Shadow Archangel, but I've actually had a couple of such shout outs or people reaching out to tell me how Simbrome and, for that matter, Coriolis have helped them through tough times, and that's, you know, it's
as a designer, like, how does that makes you feel?
I don't know. I guess.
And Coriolis is another great one. It's actually the first game that I purchased after a 10-year hiatus in gaming. And it's the first one of its first con game that I played when I got back into things.
Nice.
That's had a reprint, obviously, or a recreation from the original Jørn Ringen game. So it's very similar, though, I take it. In terms of, it was originally a Jørn Ringen product, wasn't it? And then
we're talking Coriolis now.
Yes, Coriolis.
But I mean, that team that developed Coriolis, which actually mainly was one guy whose name is Matthias Lilja. That guy. He and the rest of the team. Martin Griep. The artist was also a big part of the development of Coriolis. So those two are with me and Thomas and Nils and Costa and Christian in Free League today. So, I mean, we have really reunited with our the first original brand that Matthias and Martin and I was an editor at that time, because my task at that time was to write the third and final episode in Heirs of Doom, which was our majestic adventure campaign for the previous iteration of Mutant, the one that's called, right. You know, it's Mutant Year Zero now. We did a game that was called Mutant Heirs of Doom. I wasn't as involved in Coriolis as those two guys, but today, for some reason, I'm I'm the boss.
All right.
Well, that's a good thing. And Mercy of the Icons.
Mercy of the Icons.
Yeah, do actually, talk? Let's talk. There was a question about. Igor asks, working on what might become my Coriolis campaign, and very excited to know what's in the future for Coriolis.
We reacquired the license. I mean, the ownership of the brand. Coriolis is now the property of Free League. And this was done like, I don't know if it's 5 or 6 months ago or something like that. Igor, I cannot tell you much about the details right now because we're still working it out. But rest assured that we, going forth, will be focusing a lot of energy and creativity, putting that into the Coriolis game. So it's going, first and foremost, now we are looking to complete the Mercy of the Icons campaign. So, and the second installment in that series will go to print next week. Okay. Hopefully, I mean, there can always be speed bumps and stuff that happens, but that's my hope anyway. We will, I mean, please stay tuned to our Facebook page and other social media. We have a newsletter that comes out regularly when we have new releases. We will do a short pre-purchase campaign with some special stuff for pre-purchasers. Nice. Later this fall. So, and not it's not very far off.
Yes, excellent. Ian Clark asks, are there any plans to offer material for use for virtual tabletop? Of course, right now with everything that's going on in the world, virtual tabletop and playing RPGs online is all the rage, and that's pretty much how the majority of RPGs are being played at this moment. So that's a great question. Thank you, Ian.
We are working on that and making some progress since before. There is a Simbrium module for Fantasy Grounds that's been up for over a year, I think. You also have, you know, you have the whole rules engine, and I think the Copper Crown Adventure Chronicle. But right now we are looking at and working on, I think we have released Alien and Tales from the Loop. Phil, maybe you know more than me on this, but both of those should be on Roll20 by now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah, and that the to answer your question more generally, the idea is, and we are working on releasing all our games on multiple virtual tabletop platforms. Nice. Because we also realize that this is we need to be where you are. So in a sense, how you play our games will decide how we make them available to you. So those questions and those, you know, suggestions and those are very welcome, because if we don't, we try to be active on social media and also visit convention and you know, talk to players, gamers, GMs. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't know what you want and what you think of our games. So,
and it's a challenge to know which VTT to cater for, really. I mean, yeah, it's such a divisive thing, you know.
Right. There's not really. I mean, Roll20 seems to have a good share. You know, Fantasy Grounds has a good share, and then you're starting to see some of these others that are starting to kind of take a hold in the market as well, especially, you know, right now. So. It's interesting to see, and it's good that Free League is conscious of the fact that the market's kind of changing, and you kind of have to pivot and make your games available for those platforms as well. Chris asks, in Simbrium, Davakar seems to be steeped in allegory. What do you think are the key allegorical parallels we should think on when delving its depths? I love this question. This is a great question, Chris. Thank you so much.
This is a fantastic question. But
thank you, Chris.
And sadly, I'm exactly the guy to answer it. I can tell you the main allegory that I have in mind when working on Simbrium. But as other creators tend to be, I am a little bit hesitant to, you know, decide how you should read my stuff or interpret it. Or, I mean, there are two heavy, important themes in the Simbrium setting in general. And the absolutely the main one relates heavily to Davakar as well, and that's the, you know, the question or the conflict between civilization and nature. I'm weighing my words because I could use more loaded words, but I think that may spoil stuff for some. So
I like it.
But the other very important theme, and that also ties into Davakar, is the question of imperialism and you know, not least cultural imperialism, in a sense where civilization, in its effort to reach further and further, and in its sometimes or maybe even often well-meant ambition to help cultivate others, that is something that is not unproblematic, and Simbrium can be played as your standard action fantasy RPG, but writing it, and this is actually one of the reasons why we at Free League, or rather at Old Jan Ringen and Free League, work so well together. We have a passion about making games about something at least to us means something, that raises questions, that touches on things that are not fantasy, that you can relate to on a personal and I don't know, Phil, help me out. I feel this is a hot potato because, I don't want to spoil the game for those who just want to, you know, bash some trolls. Yeah. That's also okay.
I think the best thing you said to me, Matthias, was when you said to me that Simbarum is not a role-playing game for children. And that, that kind of gets it's contemporary political horror in a lot of ways. You have other games like Cult, which are contemporary political horror with a sort of more of a Clive Barker kind of twist to them.
Sure.
But this is more about the horror of culture, the horror of people, the horror of oppression, of fear of the unknown and what you're going to do to prevent the unknown from coming to get you.
Mm.
Even when you don't really have a concept of what that is. And for me, what's really interesting is that it really, as you kind of progress through the books, everything does or has the opportunity to turn itself on its head, because what you think you understand reading the Promised Land, which is the first scenario in the book, which you kind of, when you look at it, you go, I thought this was a book about dark forests and we're in the mountains. How does that work? But everything that you encounter in that scenario actually is a really good, that's a great question from Krista there. It's a really kind of good representation of the things that you face, which are grays, as in the color gray. What's the better thing for me to do? The thing that feels right, or the thing that actually feels like it's going to do the less damage to my party or the surroundings or whatever. And yeah, the politics are big and heavy, and you need to have a kind of a big overview of everything to understand what's really going on if you want to play the campaign.
All right, so we've kind of running out of time, but I've got one more question, and then we're gonna. You also shared some images with me, Matthias, and I want to get to those here before we close out. Amy asks, are you planning to release any new novels for Coriolis?
Well, the old ones in English.
So you know there is a novel in English, actually. I don't know. It's marketed still. It was released by Paradox Interactive.
I couldn't find it.
While I was hired for a brief period of time to start up something called Paradox Books, producing game fiction for all their brands like War of the Roses and Crusader Kings. No, the other one. Matthias Lilja wrote a novel. At the moment, we have no fan fiction for Coriolis planned. Okay. Let's keep it short. If it's really important to stop at like 8:30, so
no, that's fine. We can maybe go over a few more minutes, but let's. You just had a new release for the product of a product for Simbarum. Let's just tell folks if you haven't seen the announcement, it just hit. The other day, the Adventure Pack 4 for Simbarum.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful book.
I have it here as well.
It's beautiful. I've got mine upstairs.
And the cool thing about this one, you should look up the credits page and see that I believe this is the first, I should know, but I believe it's the first full book. It's 112 pages, hardcover, and it's not written by me. And it's not written by Matthias Lilja. It's actually written by Erik Hylander. And he's done a fantastic job in treating the GM and players to the first official journey down south below the Titans, down to the lost land of Alberetor. That's half of this book. And then you have an introduction to the town of Kurun and an adventure of the heart.
Now, you also sent me over an image that says box top. Should I show that?
Please do.
What is this box top?
What is this box top? Phil knows what it is. It's the very top of the starter set, the box starter set that we are working on for Simbarum. Currently, it looks like it will not hit the shelves until early next year because the printing time is quite significant when it comes to boxes. But it's more or less done, and it will include easy to a scaled down version of the rule set. It will have an adventure book that contains two brand new adventure locations.
Oh, nice.
It will include a set of Symbrome dice called the Corrupted Nature dice set, and a little some maps and other stuff as well. So it will be, you know, not the starter set that you play once and then put on the shelf. I think you can at least get 30 to 50 hours out of it.
Yeah, I would say that would be really cool. Am I right in thinking, Matthias, that the books themselves, the rule set that you've collected for the starter set, that's like a curated amount of information from several of the books?
No, it's mainly you can say in the starter rules, it's mainly a lighter version of the core rules.
Yeah.
But then we have also in the adventure book, we have a little bit of the, you know, generating ruins and designing exploration adventures from the Game Master's Guide and Mother of Darkness.
Game
Master's
Guide is brilliant.
We've already gone over just a few minutes, but I also have one more image here that says final. That's all I can see on it. Should I show it?
Please do. If people haven't seen it, they should. What is that? Can anybody guess? Phil, will you please hold up part one if you have it?
This one here.
Yeah, that one there. So this is the finished artwork for the cover of Mercy of the Icons Part 2, which will be entitled The Last Cyclade. And anyone who has played or Coriolis knows what a Cyclade is. You who don't, buy the game and find out. It's a period of time, I can tell you. So that's Martin's latest masterpieces when it comes to covers, the starter set and the Mercy of the Icons Part 2.
One of my biggest regrets is not picking up the poster print of that Mercy of the Icons first book when it was available. It's going to be beautiful.
So much, there's so much... Definitely a lot of reaction to the Mercy of the second book.
Yeah, I'm so happy for. Yeah,
yeah. We've got plenty more questions. You know what, Matthias? We're just gonna have to have you back on again at some point later on. Like, come back on with us and we'll chat a little bit more about stuff. Maybe when we have a little more time and we're not trying to marathon content throughout the weekend.
If you promise to have Phil there as well.
I don't know. His agent's pretty difficult agent to deal with.
Yeah, I'd have a word with Doug. One thing I was going to say, and I just need to check. Yeah, so very quick plug for the Coriolis live
play that's
happening later on. Particularly
the
as
Symbrum.
The Symbrum is going to be great, obviously.
Yeah.
Coriolis is is going to be in that game.
Yeah.
And he's playing the NPC that I created. So, you know.
Oh,
that'd be amazing. Nice. But yeah, Symbrum as well. I'm not going to plug that.
Yeah, I'm Matthias, thank you so much for coming on and being a part of this session and kicking off our Free League Showcase in such a great way.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and for this great start to what I really hope will be a fantastic weekend. I will be asleep during most of the live stuff, but I will definitely see everything.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be right back with more content headed your way.